Welcome to Bite Size Dental Marketing. Today I have my partner, Andre. Andre, thanks for taking the time. You've been crushing it with at bats. We've gone from the what felt like the nuclear winter of dental marketing of early 2022 to I think our plate's running over here on I see you in 2, 3 calls a day talking to new clients. It's such a wild turn. So you're a busy guy. I'm grateful for the time.
Yeah, it's exciting times here at the agency. It's opportunity to help more people and to find our people. So it's been fun.
Yeah. Well, today we had been getting a lot of questions as we go through this journey of, all this interest and some of it's around the good old days of 21 and 22 when everyone was having record after record after record. We've seen some softening in the demand in patients looking for dental offices. We've seen some of the impacts of the inflationary economy, things like that. And we've seen this dentist begin to engage in marketing more consistently over the past couple of months. And one of the questions we get just every single time is how much, what's in it? How much should I spend on marketing? How much are other people spending on marketing? Just however the question is formed, there's always some question of how much money should I spend on marketing? And I really like the idea of us talking through, the different scenarios and what you're seeing in as you talk to all these dentists talking about marketing.
Yeah, and it's a fair question, right, Eric?
Yeah.
I know that in dentistry, talking about money or giving prices on the phone is sort of a no-no in a lot of cases. But this is a fair question to me because every dental practice is experiencing the cost of supplies go up, the cost of team members go up, and they know that they need to grow the business to be able to support and again, take home more money, right? That's the only thing that hasn't been going up for them. It's their
Yeah.
take home. And so they are reaching out for marketing and they want to know what is a reasonable spend and what makes a difference. And I think, and there's not a popular answer out of the gate, but I think it depends. I think each practice is unique in their market and sort of where they are in their journey. Are they a startup? Are they an established practice? But because I'm answering that question every day now, where I used to start is by asking, where are they today? And where are we trying to go this year?
Right.
If
From
you're,
a
if you're,
production and new patient standpoint, right? Like,
correct,
yeah.
correct. If someone is saying, I just opened my doors, I just need to get a few people through the door, that's a different path than if you are 30 new patients and you're trying to go to 100 and add a couple associates over the next few months, right? That's a big difference there. But in general, if you're established practice, you've been open for a few years, sort of the operation things are in place. I think a budget of somewhere between 3% of collections to 7% of collections is a healthy budget. Again, I think if you're more conservative, you're just trying to keep up with times and you have already a good established patient flow, you have an established referral program. And when you get a new patient, they turn into referrals. I think you can get away with the smaller budget. I
Sure.
think if you are at that place in your journey where you just added a cone beam and you're trying to do implants, you have an associate, you're trying to build out another op and bring another hygienist, I
God
think you
forbid
need to be,
moving locations, something like that.
right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you need to be more aggressive. But I
Yeah.
start a conversation on if I don't know anything else, I think that range there is a good place to start.
Yeah, now on the established ones, that's always an interesting one. For me, you nailed it on the special cases. If, and like you said, building out an associate, buying a cone beam, building out ops, adding in Invisalign or implants or some form of, I want to start leaning into full mouth reconstructions. Like all of those take content and the demonstration of excellence, and that takes time, energy, and money. That if you just said, I've been doing bread and butter dentistry. I love doing bread and butter dentistry, and I've been very consistent in my brand. I haven't rebranded, and I don't have all this, this website looks like this, and you've been fairly consistent. I like what you said in that 3 to 4% range, but anytime you start talking about big growth or special cases, you're right. It just goes up. It's just more expensive to market. And if you think about it from just a common sense standpoint, if you just started rolling out implants to your patients, you have no patients to start from on an implant other than the patients you have in your practice already. So you're acquiring this new breed of patients that are typically implant patients or high earning and cosmetic patients are a more educated community around what they're searching for and how they're searching for it. And you get into that, those case studies and demonstration of excellence that it's just expensive to generate content sometimes. So yeah, I like it. Now,
Yeah.
where do you land on startups?
Startups are, again, I consider that to be a special case for, for most scenarios. I think the startups, the first question that I have for them is how much of your own time and energy are you willing to put into this? Right? Some startups, the doctor is going all in and they plan to be there 5 days a week out of the gate, and they're going to have time on their hands. So if you think of marketing as an engine that needs fuel, that fuel can be dollars spent, but it can also be energy and hitting the pavement and going to meet people and visiting offices or businesses nearby. And so depending on what that looks like, I think, assuming let's say that you needed this completely done for you. You weren't going to be visiting offices on your own. You weren't going to be generating content, whether it be photos or videos or written content or blog posts or articles or service pages, that kind of stuff on your own. I probably would set aside somewhere between $15,000 to $20,000 to get a practice started over the next 3, 4 months. To me, that would be the creation, the design of the logo and the brand, the website, the content that goes in there. I would still invest in getting some custom photography, whether it's by you doing it on your own with an iPhone and a friend, or hiring a local photographer. I think that's very important. I would create some physical assets to give out, whether it be flyers or brochures. I think it's important to have some QR codes for reviews out of the gate. And so I think that budget feels like a good starting point. Now, again, it depends on the market. It depends on the kind of practice you're trying to build. For instance, we have a practice that we worked with starting up last year that out of the gate, they knew they were only going to do implants, full mouth rehabs, and via veneers or crowns. They weren't doing hygiene. They weren't going to see regular crowns and fillings kind of patients. And so their marketing plan and budget looked entirely different than someone who's opening their first practice out of college. They are going to be doing emergency dentistry. They're going to offer a wide variety of services. The approach itself looks different, and the budget that goes with it looks different.
Now, you mentioned a website in there, and you said, when you were talking about money, do you think the website is included in that budget, or are you, because there's this concept of renting, paying for traffic to the site. There's this concept of investing in marketing of the video production, the before and after case studies, the patient testimonials, and the website. I would include in that investment. Where does for when you say the either 3 to 7 or the fixed fee to get those offices off the ground, is the website included in that?
Good question. So to me, when I think of a startup and I think about a typical scenario, very few dentists that I run into have the capabilities or the time to do some of that work on your own. So from that standpoint, I would include the website into the $15,000 to $20,000 that I want them to set aside for the first 3 to 4 months, because they're typically not going to do it on their own. Now, if they are the kind of they're tech savvy enough, they feel comfortable writing some content, getting their own photos and videos, I do think they can do with less. They can get a site on Squarespace or another platform that gives them at least the infrastructure to just type in their content and upload their photos and get something off the ground in a much more affordable way. Now, if they are hiring a third-party agency to do it, I think it can be done with a higher level of sophistication and a more long-term approach to it, but that's going to cost some money, right? So
And for an established practice that is in the 3 to 7 though, like you would expect that to be kind of baked into the budget.
correct. I think the initial cost of a website, I see that as cost of doing business, the cost of buying a dental chair and a handpiece. You're not going to have that cost every month.
It's paying
So when
digital
I,
rent. Yeah.
yeah, right. So when I when but once the website is put in place, the cost of acquiring new patients every month is what I think about with that 3 to 6% or 7%. It's the month in and month out improvement of the online presence, the purchasing of advertising or sponsorships or materials that are given away to referring doctors or other local businesses. Those costs don't go away, right? You need to continue to invest if you're going to grow. In most scenarios, I think if you have a really strong referral program, Funny enough, Eric, a lot of times I talk to these prospective new clients, and their words are, look, I'm at 15, 20 new patients. I don't want very many more. I want fewer higher quality patients. Right? So the goal isn't always just more patients. And so your marketing budget and strategy needs to align with what kind of life are you trying to live and where are you at in that journey.
Yeah, you to me hit on the importance of asking a lot of questions when you hire a marketing team, because you nailed it. If you just want 5 or 10 more incremental new patients that are really high quality, and you're confident in your treatment presentation and you feel good. I know we're not getting into how the budget's spent, but like you do need a marketing team that reflects that and aspires for that, because there's a lot of marketing companies out there that just send leads to the front desk and then they're done. There's a lot of marketing companies that just do branding and they're done. And I think finding someone who will allocate that budget to fit your unique circumstances is incredibly important. I don't know how many accounts we've taken over to where you could just see that the dentist and the marketing company weren't particularly culturally aligned in how to do business, for sure.
The other question that I get regularly, Eric, is, implants is a hot topic, right? Everyone is now wanting to place
Everybody wants to
them,
do implants.
and if there is a big ticket item, they want to know how to advertise it and how to get more of those cases, those big cases. And so I also like to make a distinction for our clients on if you're a general dentist who's starting to place implants, your budget is a little different than if you're trying to become a clear choice of sorts, right? Where that is the only thing that you're doing. I think that is a special case in and of itself. And I do expect if you're an implant center effectively, that your marketing budget is more in the 15 to 20% range than that 3 to 7% range that we were discussing earlier for general practices.
It's been a minute since I've looked at the numbers, but I know at one point it was, for an all on four, it was north of $1,000 for a consult, north of $3,000 for start. And that's an awfully big budget when you think about being a specialist in implants and all on fours.
Now, on average, each of these arches are generating 22, 25,000. So the math is still there, but it requires an entirely different approach. The follow-up, the phone answering. It's a much bigger sales job for the team than it is a general practice that perhaps accepts insurance and has a lower barrier to entry because the cost of failure on a hygiene appointment is much smaller, right, than me getting an implant placed and having a bad experience with that. So patients want to make sure that you're the right provider for them.
When we talk about money, I do find that many dentists don't contemplate the cultural shift of doing implants or shifting their I only want full mouth reconstructions or I only want to do implants. That represents a cultural shift in the business, and that just takes time. And but more important than time, it takes a cultural shift in the office. The same people who answer the phone for a fee for service practice are not the same people who answer the phone for a heavily driven insurance practice.
They shouldn't be at
And
least.
they shouldn't be, right. And then when you take it even further to I'm selling a $26,000 case, I think that needs to be done in person. But two, like that person is awfully well suited to sales more than just taking orders.
Another special case for me, Eric. So we covered startups, we covered the general bread and butter dentistry, we covered specialty offices. I think the fourth one that I want to touch on is if you have multiple locations. This is another trend that we're seeing. People who have a single location, they want to grow to their second, third, and perhaps more down the road. I see two styles of clients in that front. There are ones where they treat each location as an individual standalone entity, whether it's not just from a branding perspective, but how they allocate funds and consume funds. And so I think if you are in that camp, I think the normal ranges still apply, the 3 to 7%, as where some clients of ours that have multiple locations, they look at their budget as a portfolio budget, meaning they use each location's collections to generate the marketing budget, but the deployment of the funds is done in a per need basis. I mean, they may have a flagship office who is booked out for new patients 6 weeks, 8 weeks, 12 weeks. and they don't need a lot of advertising efforts, as where their brand new startup location needs a lot of attention. And so in that scenario, that startup office or the youngest office may be consuming a lot more budget from a percentage standpoint than they actually generate because it's coming from the portfolio. And so
Right.
you get to leverage the economy of scales even more so if they are branded the same, because you can run some of the advertising, whether it's video ads on Facebook or Instagram or YouTube, for the entire region, as opposed to having to create a separate campaign per brand. So that is another special case for us. And again, the multi-location bigger offices have the capability of doing really well with marketing on the lower end of that range because
Right.
how they get to use the funds.
That's very well said. I would love it if you would just kind of summarize for me, the startup budget, the established, and maybe just summarize those two
Yeah.
quickly, and we'll wrap it up. This has been great.
Yeah. So as a recap, if you're a startup, set aside 15 to 20 grand for the first 3 to 4 months. That should cover your website. It should cover your branding. It should cover all of the initial setup of social media accounts and Google listing and all those things. Some physical assets, flyers and business cards and QR codes, so that you can be well prepared in that first run to get the word out about your new business. If you are an established practice that's looking to keep up with times and have incremental growth, you can be on the 3 to 4% of collections range. If there's a specific event in the practice, whether you're expanding, you need to grow more aggressively, you should be looking at the higher end of that range in the 6 to 7%. If you are an implant-driven practice or a heavily cosmetic-driven kind of practice, we want you to set aside a higher budget than that. It could be in the 10 to 15% for cosmetic, maybe 15 to 20 for implants, depending on how well you're closing those leads. And then the fourth bucket here was the multi-location. We think depending on the size of the portfolio, you can do really, really well on the lower end, 3%, maybe even 2.5%, depending on how much you're doing with. If you have a on boots on the ground kind of person who's supporting the digital efforts and those types of things. But the other thing I would add, Eric, because we didn't cover, like I said, we didn't cover how to spend the money. But one of the points that I discuss often with new clients is, great, you figured out how much to spend, and that's a win, right? But before you start spending that money, I think there are two things that you need to pay attention to. Number one is, what does your website look like? Because it's very often the case that practices can grow organically over time, especially if you're an older practice, without really needing to pay attention to the website. They get all their patients from referrals or drive-bys, and they find themselves today needing to grow the practice, and they want to deploy marketing budget. But the reality of it is, the vast majority of the campaigns that you're going to be running online are going to take the traffic to the website. And if the website doesn't tell a good story, it's not compelling, it's not easy to navigate, it's not personal, you're going to get a lower return on that investment. And so I'd rather you spend a little time cleaning up the website, making something that represents you and the kind of care you're providing for your patients first, before you start spending money on Google ads or Facebook ads or any of those things. And the second piece, we talk about this quite often on in the podcast, is make sure that the person answering the phone is excited to be there. They're excited to welcome new patients to the practice. They believe in you as a provider, so that when they are telling the patients about the practice and the kind of dentist that you are, it's genuine. They believe in you,
Right,
and that
right.
makes a big difference in the feeling like I'm getting a good return on my investment and feeling like I'm throwing away money on marketing.
No, you nailed it. Those are the two biggest challenges in marketing is, why would you drive traffic to a poor site or a site that doesn't reflect a brand? And if you can't convert calls to new patients, you're throwing away money. Yeah, no matter how you spend the money, if you can't do those two things, it doesn't matter what your budget is. Absolutely, yeah. Well, gosh, Andre, thank you so much for your time, and we'll do a follow-up on how to spend the money and a deeper dive into that next. But thanks for your time, and this was your bite of dental marketing for the day.